countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Have you cattle to sell? Find out what they're worth with our March price calculator on farmersjournal.ie.
Anyway, moving on. Springtime is a particularly bad time of year for horse welfare cases, as we've seen in recent weeks. Charities are getting calls from the public about horses and donkeys abandoned and sometimes dying in forests, bags and bogs, and on private land. Earlier this month, Charlie McCullough, the Minister for Agriculture, launched Ireland's first animal welfare strategy. Suzanne Campbell has been looking at the strategy and asking equine groups what can be done to improve horse welfare. Good morning, Suzanne.
Good morning, Marty. Yes, you know, it's coming out of winter now. I mean, it's a nice day here today in Wicklow, but we know the last weeks and months have been really, really wet. The grass has been scarce or waterlogged. And, you know, if horses haven't been looked after over winter with extra fodder, it's at this stage that they really go downhill. And unfortunately, we're seeing charities like the ISPCA, My Lovely Horse Rescue, and the Irish Horse Welfare Trust getting calls to bring in animals who've been abandoned to starve. And it's just something that happens at this time every year. I talked to Shelley Phillips from the Irish Horse Welfare Trust this week. They're in Wicklow and she was involved in a recent rescue of a mare and foal who'd been found in really poor condition by walkers. And she took me through what happened.
At first, we thought this was going to be a fairly straightforward rescue. But when we got there, it was a very vast area and there was no sign of the mare and foal. The guards came with us a certain way because we had to pass through private property. The weather conditions were appalling. It was lashing rain and guards have other jobs to do. So they had to leave us, but stayed in touch on the phone. And myself and a colleague continued on. We walked literally miles to try and find these two. Eventually, we did. The mare particularly, she was like a skeleton. She had an open, very infected wound on her neck in very, very poor condition. And I really feel when we got to her that she knew we were going to help. Now, then the logistics of getting her back down, it was a mountain we were on, and the logistics of getting her back down this mountain. And she was very poor, but the little lady just came with us and the baby obviously followed her. And then we loaded them up and we brought them back to our farm. She did need veterinary attention, a lot of care, obviously building her back up and helping her to feed her foal. And so it was a happy ending, but it was horrific. It was very, to see them dumped just like that and to see them sort of giving up on life.
I know in many cases that your organisation rescues with the Gardaí, you can't say much about her circumstances because often there's prosecutions involved. Is there a prosecution going ahead with this one or do you know about her previous circumstances?
No, Suzanne, it would be educated guesswork on our part that she basically was no use anymore to the people who had her and she was dumped. And the neck wound might suggest there might have been a microchip that had been taken out. But there wouldn't be any prosecution because we just wouldn't know where to start. In these circumstances, nobody wants to say who the mayor would have belonged to, even though they may know.
So it's likely, you know, looking at this mare's injury, that the microchip was actually gouged out of her neck. And that's just pretty awful stuff. You know, this would have had to have been done by the owner or the handler of the animal to stop the owner being identified, you know, if they intended to sort of dump it. By law, all horses in Ireland have to be microchipped and have a passport, but this isn't enforced. So plenty of animals change hands for very little money sometimes. And even kids in urban areas, and I've reported this on this programme before, have actually bought horses for, you know, swapped a mobile phone for a pony or paid 50 quid, 100 quid for animals that are unwanted. And then when their food and care gets too costly, they often dump them then on public land. The Irish Horse Welfare Trust, they've been working in welfare. They're dedicated just to horse welfare for over 20 years. And I asked its founder, Sharon Power, about the animals they've rescued, the ones they've rehomed, and how charities are overstretched at this time dealing with the problem, but also trying to work with county councils and stakeholders to improve the situation.
Currently, there's about 500 out in homes, and we have just over 70 at the moment in care. That's our kind of maximum capacity based on our staff numbers and our facilities. So we are at maximum capacity at the moment. And we're at March, which is always a bad month, and you can often see the worst welfare cases during March. So we will have to be prepared to try and accommodate a few emergency cases in the next month or 6 weeks.
In terms of the new welfare strategy, I know there's a couple of points in it directed at equine welfare. One is the department wants a more coordinated approach to the control of horses and to work with bodies more. Is that something you would welcome?
Absolutely. And I mean, I totally welcome the new strategy. It is the first of its kind and it's very positive. It's also good news that the Animal Health and Welfare Division has been divided and there is now a dedicated section for welfare. So I think all of those things will help greatly. And certainly an increase in funding to the welfare sector would be brilliant because it would help all of us. We're all struggling to keep our bills paid, especially after COVID. Our fundraising has been practically wiped out.
The Dublin Region Horse Welfare Working Group, what kind of stakeholders are on that group? And can you see successful initiatives coming out of that? Though it takes an awful lot of time, I imagine.
To be honest, it's a great initiative and it's achieved very much more than maybe I thought it might in the beginning. I mean, the people that are on the group are all very dedicated to trying to solve the problems in the Dublin area. So you have representatives from the various councils in Dublin, along with animal welfare groups and representation from the Department of Agriculture as well. So, for example, the Education Task Group has run since 2018 for Horse Welfare Weeks in various parts of Dublin as part of the education piece. So I think the group has achieved a lot. It would be great if some funding could be put into groups like this that could help them, because obviously it does take a lot of time and all of these people are taking time out of their own jobs as well to try and get this work done. So perhaps that would be some funding that could come from the new strategy.
In that department's new strategy, you know, most of the actions are to do with increased funding for pig and chicken housing, food animals. There's actually nothing concrete provided for dogs, cats or equines, only increased links with welfare agencies. But also part of the strategy is a new veterinary post in UCD, which is a chair for animal welfare and ethics. I asked the new appointee, Siobhan Mullen, are horses just prone to welfare issues because they don't have the added inspections and protections, ironically, of food animals, but are also not pets or companions? Animals.
Yeah, I think in many ways that's a perfect characterization, because horses fulfill so many different roles within our society. And sometimes even the same horse is fulfilling different roles. So they're also a companion for people. You know, of course, they love them and so on, but they also often really want them to provide a function. So, you know, to be able to be ridden most commonly. And then sometimes things can shift a little bit. For example, when that horse may no longer be able to provide the function, you know, they're much more expensive animals to keep than our other companions that we have in that bracket. And that's when things get really tough for them. It's a bit of a perfect storm sometimes. You know, the animal loses its function, it's still really expensive. And then, you know, what do you do?
I suppose in Ireland, we have this unique position as being known as the land of the horse. We produce huge amounts of bloodstock. It's a hugely valuable sector to the economy and sport horses. Yet we still have issues with abandonment and neglect, even within probably 20 years of charities highlighting these issues. Why do you think that's so persistent?
It may be almost part of that same issue where people's identity is so wrapped up in that. And of course, that just those financial pressures, again, when people fall on hard times, then they take actions in terms of abandonment, which they feel forced to do so. What I'm really in favour of is, you know, an evidence-based approach. And so, you know, where there are programs and so on, really trying to assess the impact. But again, I suspect that it will be more complex than we thought initially. And we've got to really drill into why people keep horses and then why do they then subsequently abandon them? Why do they keep breeding horses? What is it that they get out of it? And so on.
Yesterday, the Department of Agriculture told me that actually the Control of Horses Act 1996 is currently under review and plans for replacement legislation are well advanced, which is very interesting. I think it'll be really welcomed by welfare groups who feel that, you know, both the recent strategy and previous efforts to solve horse welfare issues have just amounted to little. There's evidence that education in horse clubs and urban areas has definitely worked, but it probably needs more funding and coordination and a long-term sort of buy-in. So we'll keep our eye on this change situation, particularly with the new legislation, and see what happens.
Suzanne, most interesting and most informative, and thank you so much for joining us on Countrywide.